up a bit. All right. Find here. All right, I'd like to call to order this Fort Point Channel Landmark District Commission public hearing to order for 6 p.m. on June 11, 2020. I will read this in for the benefit of the public. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link in our agenda posted online or by calling 929-205-6099 and entering meeting ID number 831-9615-0664#. You can also submit written comments or questions to the Fort Point Channel to Fort Point Channel LDC at boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review design review applications. So in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online to ensure public access to the deliberations of the Fort Point Channel Landmark District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please hit the prompt, raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov or Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag FPCJuly9Hearing, all no spaces. And we will repeat these instructions before taking public comment. All right, so the first item is application number 20.1096, and it is 332-340 Summer Street, and it's regarding installing a planting bed and along with a planting plan as submitted. And there was also additional items that were submitted under an administrative review. We'll go through that later, but that was for the refurbishing and improvements to the existing fence. So.
Hello, this is Attorney David Gottlieb calling. I represent Stanhope Garage, the applicant.
Okay.
And there should be some other individuals on this call that are also working with me on the Landmarks Commission application.
Mark Lederman here.
And I'm Timothy Burke. I'm the architect for the project. My address is 142 Berkeley Street in Boston.
So are you wanting to wait for the others, or can you get started?
We can get started now, sir. My name is David Gottlieb again. My address is 309 Washington Street in Brighton. I represent the operator of the parking lot located at 332-340 Summer Street. And we are looking to install a planting bed along the side of the parking lot facing Boston Wharf Road in between the Summer Street retaining wall and the restaurant that lies on Congress Street. And I'm going to let the architect, Mr. Burke, take over from here.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity here. We can go through the photographs first if you'd like. This shows the view along the sidewalk that David just mentioned with the fence, and then where the proposed planting bed would be just inside the fence. This is another view looking towards Summer Street. Summer Street is elevated at this point, a full story above the service road. And this shows there are some, this was taken earlier in the spring, there are a few plantings that are existing that we would maintain if they're in good shape. This is a photo that shows that retaining wall along Summer Street with the steel buttresses to support that wall. And this is where you enter the parking lot from Congress Street. And this is our planting plan. The service road is along the bottom of the sheet where you see the planting bed. And then there's an enlarged version here at the bottom of the sheet. We're using a simple planting mix of plants that are native, that are pollinators, and that don't require much water because we do not have irrigation on this site. And so we're trying to get some color and plants that will be blossoming throughout the summertime months. And be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, so how wide is the planting bed?
It's approximately 3 feet wide.
All right, and then on the back side, are you going to be like saw cutting the bituminous? I assume it's a bituminous surface, the parking lot?
Yes, it is. Mark Lederman is the person who will be doing the actual work. I'll let Mark speak to that.
Sure. The lot is actually a gravel lot. There's no asphalt or bituminous in the lot. So we'd be having to dig that out to a appropriate depth, install some fresh loam, and do our planting within that.
I think it would be good to put a metal edge there to make that, you know, bed definition more clear so it doesn't start to bleed in and get weeds in. I think that would keep it separate from the gravel in the parking lot.
That could easily be accomplished, no problem with that.
Yeah, all right. And I mean, I was looking at the plants. What is the goal is, I know you just said color and all that. Is it also for screening purposes?
Correct. So yeah, Mr. Burke can speak more to this, but we're looking to basically screen the parking lot from pedestrians and also vehicle traffic on Boston Wharf Road to provide a nice screening. So there's some protection there for the parking lot.
Yeah. Because I think the viburnum is fine in terms of its scale. I think that'll work. And I'm looking at the drawing that depicts where the plants go. And you've got the viburnums in the rather small sort of symbol, which is the one that has like the star shape here. And you've got three of them. I'm not sure what you're planning to do for spacing on those. That seems like that would probably be a bit tight if the width of the planting bed is 3 feet. Well, I guess that it looks like they're spaced 3 feet apart. That's probably fine because you want.
That's about it. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. But the other thing that I'm looking at is my first reaction was I think it's a little too decorative for this Fort Point Channel and this kind of marine industrial condition here. And I was looking at your symbol where you are planning to put these Asiatic lilies. Those are the biggest circles here, and you've only got two. And I think that's because those lilies are quite narrow in their height. They're only going to be 2 to 3 feet high, but their spread is only a foot to a foot and a half. And you show just two. So that's going to pretty much do nothing in terms of screening. And I was thinking that maybe a better alternative to that particular lily would be to introduce a grass, an ornamental grass there. And I know that there's a type of grass that's a very tall vertical one, and it can tolerate this condition. It's the botanic or the cultivar is Carl Forrester. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a very tall upright grass and will probably get 3 or so feet high in terms of the foliage. And then on top of that, the seed heads pop through in the summer and they can get as high as 5 feet. I think that would be a nice screening there. And I think it would be a nice texture contrast to the viburnum. And I think the other infill that you have for the Stelladoro daylily is probably fine there. But in terms of putting, if you go with the Carl Forrester, I think in that space that you are showing where you're putting in the Asiatic lily, I would put in 4 of them. So that there's 2 in the front and 2 in the back forming a block. And that way you'll get maximum coverage, and I think that's going to give you a nice effect there. It'll be a good variation in height, texture, and the Karl Forrester does tolerate, you know, reasonable periods of dryness. Every plant needs water, but I think that can certainly, you know, tolerate. I assume there's going to be no watering out here at all. Am I correct in that? I mean, in terms of not even hand watering or any kind, it's just going to be up to nature.
Well, actually, I know Mr. Lederman can speak more to this, but I think there will be at least an effort to water the planting bed because we are making the investment to install it. But in terms of the environment, I mean, it as you pointed out, it is what it is. I mean, it is it's located between an elevated summer street, you know, retaining wall in a large restaurant facing Congress Street next to a sidewalk. So, okay. You know, but there's definitely going to be an effort to at least regularly water it, plus all the additional rain we've been having. But there will be an effort.
All right. I think it's probably advantageous that the lot is going to be permeable and not going to be asphalt, so that will help with reflected heat that might, tend to dry this out faster. I know it's an administrative review, but maybe if you can just explain what was your plan for the fence? You're going to keep what's there and you're just going to paint it or what?
So Mr. Lederman and Mr. Burke can speak more to that, but I believe the plan there is to sand the fence, clean the fence, and paint the fence.
Okay.
Correct. It's a refurbishment of what's there.
Yeah, I think that came before us several years ago, I think, when you put that in. I think I remember this parking lot coming before us.
So in terms of, just so we're clear on the flowers that you would like to install instead of the lilium, the Asiatic lilies, could you want four of them installed?
I think four would be appropriate, yes, and they could fit because they're kind of narrow in their space. They're probably maybe a foot to a foot and a half spread. And I think if you put one in front of the other in a total of four, that would give enough density and they will tend to touch one another and create more of a solid mass. And I think that's what you ultimately want to see there. You can Google it if you want, so you can get it. If you're not familiar with it, the cultivar is K-A-R-L. And then the second word is F-O-E-R-S-T-E-R. You just put that in. And you should see plenty of images of what that plant would look like. And I think you'll see that it would be a nice effect out there without being too overly fussy. Like the lilies are, you know, they're beautiful, but they're best in a nice sort of perennial bed somewhere outside of the district. So those are my thoughts. I would, you know, other commissioners, if you have any thoughts, please, you know, weigh in.
I'm happy with suggestions, David.
Okay.
Same here, David. I really have to defer to the landscape guru.
Okay. All right. So you did say that you're keeping some plants there.
Tim, Mr. Burke and Mr. Lederman can speak more to this, Commissioner, but I believe, I mean, if the honey locust trees were installed at the requirement of the Boston Planning and Development Agency. So we're required to maintain those as well as the fence, which was approved by the BPDA. So if those honey locust trees die, we're going to have to install new honey locust trees. I mean, it's just that easy.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Yeah.
But I don't know the condition. I'm not trained in that. I know Mr. Burke and Mr. Lederman can speak more on that. But when I was out there several months ago, the trees and the what was there looked like it needed, you know, potential replacement at the very least.
Okay. All right. Well, that's, you know, I'll defer to whatever I, because it looks like the one that's closest to the massive retaining wall there on Summer Street there, that one looks like it's leaning a bit. But
correct. And if it is, Mr. Burke can speak more to this, but if the tree is at the end of its life, well, we're going to have to install a new tree.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. That is correct.
Yep. All right. Well, that's, well, I'll defer, you know, to you on that if you, once you assess the condition of it. So, all right. So if there are no other comments, I will open this up to public comment as well. And let me see, is there a script I'm reading in? Oh yeah. Let me just read this piece in for the public. If there's, if you're going to be,
David.
Hello. Hello.
Looks like I think we lost David.
Yeah, not David Gottlieb.
David, yeah. Berlucci.
Okay. Is Mr. Burke and Mr. Lederman, are you there?
Mark is still here, yes.
Yes, I'm
okay,
here.
Very, okay, thank you. I'm here as well. David Gottlieb is here.
So if we've temporarily lost the chair, could Joe or Mary read that? Oh, David's back, it looks like.
I think he's connecting.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yes. Okay.
Hello.
Sorry, I my phone was overheating, so it just kind of died out on me. All right. So I assume that there's been no public comment coming through.
We didn't read the script, David. Do you have the script handy?
Oh, All right. So I did read it in, but I must have been off at that point. So, all right. Let me read this back in. Sorry. All right, members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks with the hashtag FPCJuly9Hearing. So we'll wait a little bit to see if there's any questions that come through.
All right, Sarah McCammon, I see you raising your hand. Please, you can make your comment now.
Thank you. My name is Sarah McCammon. I'm a Fort Point resident, and I just wanted to say that we are very pleased to see these improvements to the site. This is something that we have asked for and are excited to see, and definitely agree with the commissioner's suggestions. So thank you very much.
Okay. Anyone else?
No, I don't see anyone else raising their hand.
And all right.
I don't see any messages coming in.
I don't have any emails.
All right. All right, so then we can entertain a motion then on this.
I'll move to accept the application as presented with the changes that Commissioner Verducci suggested as far as the planting.
Yeah, okay. The replacement of the Asiatic lily, yes, for the Carl Forrester grass.
Right. And the spacing of the plants.
Yeah, with four of the grasses being used, yeah.
And Commissioner Verducci, you also, I think very early when we first got on the, first started speaking, you mentioned to Mr. Lederman regarding something you wanted also installed.
Yes.
I just want to be clear what that is.
Yep.
So we know.
I'm sorry. I forgot that. On the back side of the plant bed, to keep it separate from the gravel parking lot, put in some kind of a metal edge there.
Okay. And do you have a suggestion as to height so we know what we're looking at here?
Well, a metal edge is something that would go flush with the surface.
And, okay.
And, you know, I'm familiar with the product.
Yeah.
It's a mulch retainer.
There's many different ones out there. I would use a black one, aluminum or something. But there's a lot of companies that manufacture them.
Okay.
So that would be the added to the motion, if that's all right with you, Lynn. Okay, so, and I just realizing that, let's take this vote. And, Commissioner Gorganian.
Do you need to second that motion?
Yeah, you need to second
that. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Is there a second? Sorry.
I'll second.
Yeah, I'm seconding.
All right, so Commissioner Gorganian.
Yes.
Smilage. And Rohde.
Yes.
All right, and is John Karoff on the call here?
Saw him.
He's here. I'm on the call via phone.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I will vote yes.
All right, and the chair votes yes as well. So, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Commissioner, just so we're clear, so we will prepare a revised plan and bring it to the landmark staff?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The other thing I forgot to read in, the commissioners that are present on this, it's Commissioner Gorganian, Commissioner Karoff, Commissioner Smilage, Commissioner Rohde, and myself, Verducci. All right. So the next item is application number 20.1103, and this is 33/41 Farnsworth Street, and the proposed work is replace entry doors and infill.
So thank you. Good evening, Commissioner and Commission members, as well as Mary Service, and thank you for allowing us to present tonight. My name is Bruce Clifford, residing at 36 Pleasant View Road in Arlington. I'm a director of asset services for CBRE. Tonight, I have my colleague, Mike McGloin, head of capital planning, and Donna Bennett along both CBRE representatives. And we are here on behalf of ownership TC Four Point Creative Exchange, locally operated by Nuveen Real Estate, who has over 4 million square feet of commercial office and retail space in the city. I would also like to introduce Andreas Romero, a registered architect with Davis Square Architects, who handles design services and has worked on these properties in Four Point for several years. Andreas will present the proposed changes we would like to undertake for the storefront at 3341 Farnsworth Street now that GE has vacated the building. So Andreas, why don't I turn it over to you?
Great. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the chance to present. I don't know if I have the chance to share screen, but if I could, I can get a couple images up on the screen.
Sure, we can do that. Joe, can you make Andres a co-host, please? And I'll stop my screen share.
I can, there we go. Great. So I'm going to start off with our proposed view here. And I'll just briefly run through both the existing conditions and our proposal for the changes here. And feel free to interrupt if you have any questions. The existing condition, the existing condition is, there we go. I assume everyone can see that. Existing condition for the entry is,
I can't see that.
I think you need to share your screen again. We can see you, but we can't see the drawings.
Apologies. One second. Okay,
now we can see it.
Great. So I assume you can see the existing condition there. It's a view from the street.
So Andreas, this is the proposed. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is the okay.
Proposed. So I think you want to pull up the anodized aluminum.
Yeah. Looking for
Mary had both those views, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, on the original drawing. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if you're having any technical, there you go.
Yeah, can you see it now? Sorry about that.
Yes.
So existing condition. The existing storefront, you can see at the entry, which is where we're proposing the work, there's an existing aluminum storefront system in an anodized aluminum. It's obviously not in keeping with the rest of the building. You can see the rest of the building has the dark bronze anodized windows and some sort of dark brown mocha trim to it. So we'd like, as part of some interior renovations, we'd like to replace that existing storefront assembly there in the anodized aluminum. And we're essentially replacing it in kind, just a different configuration. The doors themselves, they keep the same dimensions, stay in the same place, but the proposal is to go with a dark bronze anodized aluminum that's in keeping with the rest of the building. And to simplify the framing pattern there, let's see if I can get that up on the screen.
The biggest change, Andreas, will be the mullions, I believe.
That's correct. I hope you can see the image of the proposed now.
Not at the moment.
Okay.
You may just have to adjust the window.
Okay, there we go. Can we see that now?
Oh, yes.
Great. So proposed here, the new storefront, we would simplify the mullions to just a very basic pattern that I think is pretty in keeping. We found some historic images. Typically, the older buildings, they had pretty large windows without many mullions or muntins to them, so kind of large expanses of glazing, which is kind of what we're doing here with some large, just very simple framing, most of it. Just large pieces of glass. The doors, 3-foot doors by 8 feet, so pretty good size, with some decorative long architectural pulls in an oil rubbed bronze finish. And Everything around the existing opening stays the same. We're really just replacing the storefront assembly. So the canopy and the surround, that all stays as is. The granite base that you see there at each side of the doors, that stays. And we're adding a small intercom system that you can kind of see rendered on the right-hand side. And that basically sums up our proposal. The signage above the door just applied to the glass, building address signage. So I think it's a very simple kind of basic entry system that we think is pretty in keeping with both the neighborhood and the building. And I think that sums it up.
Are there other, what are the other entrances like nearby on this side of the street? Are they similar to this or are they?
They are similar. The typical entrances, some of them are sort of a dark green color. Yeah. Most of them are dark. Either the dark green or the black or the dark bronze. I think the dark bronze is the most prevalent.
Yeah, the one thing I was going to step in, we really loved what was done on Thompson Place, the improvements they made to the storefront over there. So that's kind of where we thought about focusing our improvements similar to what they had done, because I thought it was in good character with the building. As far as the Farnsworth side of the this side of the street, to the right as you face this entry is a parking garage. So there's really no entry, obviously, to that other than vehicular and a stairwell access. And then the building beyond that, I'm not even sure has really a grand or large opening. On the other side of the street, you've got 34 Farnsworth, which has a side entrance. And then you have next to that a residential building that has almost like a portal and then a vestibule door probably set back 8 to 10 feet from the curb and sidewalk.
All right. Do the commissioners have any comments on this?
I think it's a big improvement, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
Yep. It's simple, and I think the dark color just keeps the attention away from it and just becomes a more, you know, it sort of recedes. It's not a historic door by any means, but I think this is fine. You obviously are also, or are they already removed, the GE signs?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, the GE signs were removed when they vacated the building back in December.
Okay. Do you know if the holes that were left were kind of plugged up and restored a bit there?
Yeah, I believe they were, but I will absolutely confirm in writing that that has been done. It was part of their restoration requirement for their lease up.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be something that we will put in as a proviso because I think that would be important to do.
Completely.
All right. If there are no other comments on this, I will open it up to the public again. Joe, do I read this thing in again?
Yes, just in case someone else joined.
Okay, someone that hasn't seen it. All right. Let me get to it here. Sorry, I had to move to the air conditioner here because my phone kept overheating, so I'm sorry for the sound that you're hearing, but this is going to keep it going.
I don't know.
all right, so members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type a question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand. Or you can send questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov or Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag FPC July 9 hearing. No spaces. So we will wait a couple minutes to see if there's any public comments on this.
All right, I don't see anyone raising their hand, and I don't see any messages coming in, so I think we're good.
All right.
I don't have any emails or Twitter mentions either.
Okay, it's pretty straightforward, so yeah. All right, so would somebody like to make a motion on this?
I'll move to accept the application as presented, with the provisos that we verify that after the GE signs were taken down, there was some sort of kind of neat refill, if you will, of what was underneath them. Is there anything else?
No, I think that was it. So, that would just be then, you can just verify that or call the staff to see, or let them know the status of those, the holes, if they've plugged or not. And if they need plugging, obviously you use a caulk that would match the material of the brick or the mortar, if that's where they're.
Yeah, we can send a photo of that completion.
Okay, great.
Perfect.
All right, is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, Commissioner Gorganian. I don't know if she's on mute or not. Sue, are you there? Well,
lost her.
Yeah, we lost her temporarily. So, all right, Commissioner Carroff? We lose John too? We're going to have, well, if as long as Commissioner Smilage?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Rohde?
Yes.
And I guess if I say yes, which I will, would that constitute our quorum here for three?
Technology is reducing our.
Yes.
Us to barely a quorum.
All right. So we've lost.
I think I might be back. I'm voting yes.
I'm sorry. Is that John?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. For some reason, it keeps on muting me and then not giving me the update. I'm muting. You don't care about my technological issues. I'm voting yes.
Okay. And is Sue back with us? She's not. So, all right. So we have four yeses. So it's passed. And, follow through with the holes to see what's, let the staff know what the situation is with that. And, we'll go from there.
Okay, Commissioner, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. The last item is 51 Sleeper Street, and that's application number 20.1102. And the proposed work is install an HVAC equipment and associated dunnage at the roof. So the applicants can introduce themselves and get started.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. This is Peter Kohansky from Goulston and Storrs. We are land use counsel to the applicant, the owner of the building, which is NFL SRE 51 Sleeper LLC, a catchy name. The rest of the team with me, I'll introduce Matthew Powers and Paul Asmar are here from the owner, and Steve Palumbo and Lori DeForno from Smith Group, which is the project's architect. So I'll turn it over to Matthew. When it comes back to questions, I'm happy to sort of field them and farm them out to the team. And I guess when Steve starts with the architectural presentation, if he could share his screen, Mary, that would be great. We've reorganized some of the images a little bit.
All right. Do you want to run through what you sent me first, or would you like me to just stop the screen share and then you can start?
Yeah, I think we'll go to our screen if you could. Okay. But first, Matthew's going to jump in and just say a little something about the project generally.
Okay, I'm stopping my screen share.
Excellent. Peter, thank you for the intro, and thank you for all the commissioners joining and entertaining us this evening to hear what we have to share with you. I thought it was important to just kind of give you a little bit of background about us and what we're trying to do. As Peter, we kind of joke around the NFL SRE 51 name can be a little bit obtuse So I thought it was important that we introduce ourselves and kind of what we are. And Paul and I, that you see here, I'm the CEO. Paul is the Managing Director for Development and Project Services for us. Both longtime Boston guys. Paul's been working in and around Boston. He started with DCAM in the mid-80s. I started in this industry in the mid-90s. We've been very involved in this area for a long time. I've spent my whole career actually in real estate development in and around Cambridge and Boston, and have been very keen on opportunities in this area of Boston for a long time. This project specifically is important to us. 51 Sleeper Street, a building that we've liked for a long time. Paul and I both have different separate personal ties to it, going back to the Stone and Webster days and what the building was and what it represents. So it's something that we kind of have a personal connection to and are enamored with the opportunity and in the area. And so it's important. We thought that you understand kind of, you know, our approach to this and making sure that everything we do here is to improve the building, support the area, and, you know, complement and improve where we can, you know, what this building is and as it sits in the context of the neighborhood. So.
Great.
So this is Stephen Palumbo. As Peter had said before, I'm the architect representing Smith Group. My address is 18 Kilmarnock Street in Wilmington, Mass. I'd love to share my screen, but at the moment, the sharing is disabled. So if somebody could allow me to share, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Mary or Joe, are you?
Joe, can you do that? Because you are the host.
I just did it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll see if I can get this sharing now. I'm going to share my entire screen. And you can see my backdrop. And now I'm going to pull up. Hopefully folks can, in a second, we'll be able to see the image of the building on the screen.
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. So as Matthew said, we're talking about 51 Sleeper Street here today. The project itself is an interior renovation and improvement. As part of that interior renovation improvement, there are necessary upgrades to the building mechanical systems, which include work on the rooftop, which is why we're here today. Overall, there are no exterior envelope improvements in any way, shape, or form. We're not touching the exterior facade in any way. The only exterior work that we're doing is the rooftop and the associated sort of roof membrane itself repair work. As you can see on the screen, I'm going to go to the next slide real quick. Apologies. I've drawn a little outline in yellow just so you can understand. It's a little hard to see the depth perception, what the outline on our building is versus what's behind the building. And I believe it's 44 Farnsworth Street behind there. So there's some darker colors, and there's a cooling tower that's visible that are not actually on our building today. So I just wanted to make sure that that was clear for folks.
Yeah, no, that's good. I didn't know that.
Sure. So again, we're talking here today about a rooftop improvement. This is an existing conditions plan of the floor plan of the roof. The bottom of the plan here is Sleeper Street. To the left side of the plan here is Seaport Boulevard. And just for orientation purposes, a couple of things. True north is sort of to the bottom left of the page. I'll try to refer to things top, down, left, right, just to not confuse anybody with cardinal directions. And also, if you are referring to the actual submission documents, we have a reference drawing number in the bottom left corner of each of these screens, just to show you what drawing page these refer to. There's no changes to the drawings. We just sort of cropped out the title block and enlarged the image just to make it a little bit more easy for folks to view on the screen. So the large existing features on the building, obviously the big footprint of the building is about 150 by about 125 feet, almost a square. In the bottom right corner here, there's an existing stair head house. And in the top left corner up here, there's an existing taller parapet wall that hides some existing mechanical systems. There's an existing elevator penthouse here, which is about 22 or so feet tall. There's existing rooftop pavers, so just walkway pads on the roof. And then there's some existing mechanical, there's a cooling tower here and some existing structural steel to support that cooling tower. So that's the majority of the systems on the roof. There are other smaller condensers and fans that are relatively low in height and don't protrude beyond the height of the existing parapet. So the next slide is a proposed roof plan. And I understand that it looks like there's a significant change here, and I want to explain sort of what's going on here. The major improvements, yes, there are a fair amount of additional rooftop walkway pads, so you see a lot of those things along here. There's additional rooftop dunnage to support new heat pumps that are going onto the roof. And there's also a new exhaust fan being put on the roof. So the exhaust fan is in sort of the center top of the plan, directly behind the elevator penthouse. And that the heat pumps are on either side of the existing elevator penthouse, to the right and to the left here. In addition to that, mechanical equipment is the expected structural dunnage support and some small walkway platforms to be able to access that equipment and maintain the equipment. So what does that all mean for the approach? So what we spent a lot of time trying to locate this equipment and keep the heights of this equipment such that they're not visible from the street at any of the major location points. So this is a section through the building across Seaport Boulevard. So you're looking at directly across the street. We can get about 200 feet before we walk into a building. And we drew a sight line at about 5 feet off the ground at that point up to the parapet wall. And so this red line is the theoretical visibility point of any equipment that you could see on the roof from across the street. You'll see the existing elevator head house here and dashed in. That's about 22-ish feet tall. And you'll see the slightly shorter exhaust fans and other heat pump equipment that are well below that red line as well from that vantage point. Transitioning over to alternate sort of view areas, again, along Seaport Boulevard. This view is actually from beyond 300 feet. And again, we're referencing that earlier image that we looked at before. The darker pieces in the background here are, again, the other building. And we have a computer model here of the proposed changes at the bottom here. I fully respect and understand that you're looking at two different images, and it's hard to understand what might be different. The key component to tell you is there's really not a lot different here. There's very, very minimal impact from beyond 300 feet. These little tiny gray bumps right here are the very, very tops of some of the equipment. But again, we're talking about beyond 300 feet. When you get to about 300 feet, none of the new equipment is visible along Seaport Boulevard, whether it be on the southern side of the street or the next slide is the same view from the northern side of the street. There's no new equipment visible on the rooftop. And then as we carry down beyond, further down Seaport Boulevard, again across the street as you're passing the Our Lady of the Good Voyage, you may get a very small glimpse of the new exhaust air handler as you walk down Seaport Boulevard. But again, very, very minimal, very unobtrusive. And for the most part, as best we can say, is invisible from the street. Again, as the one location where it's slightly more visible, if you continue down Sleeper Street, towards the Envoy Hotel area at about 300 feet away along Sleeper Street, again, you do have a small amount of visibility for those heat pumps. Again, very minimal, and they do not extend above the current visibility point of the existing elevator penthouse. So, again, we've done our work as much as we can from an architectural and engineering standpoint to strategically locate the equipment on the roof and to keep heights down as much as possible in order to minimize or eliminate any views that would be detrimental in any way.
All right, so this view is existing, and then just so I'm trying to figure, so the new equipment that you're putting in is not visible from here.
There's a small piece of the equipment. You might be able to see a little bit of a green here. So that would be the one bit of the equipment that you could see from that.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
And that's actually the snow hood on top of the equipment to keep the snow from actually impacting the equipment. So.
All right. And what is that going to look, or what is it material-wise in color and everything?
It's a gray metal, the typical mechanical system, sort of benign gray color. I believe that's
the last page. This is really the view that's the one that is within our purview, because it's views from within the district. The others were views outside, from outside the district. So this is probably the one view that we really, you know, do want to pay. All right, so I didn't mean to interrupt. You can go ahead if you want to.
That's okay. That's actually sort of the last slide we wanted to share. Again, these all refer back to the submission packet that we sent before. Again, I just wanted to make them as big as we can just for the actual the Zoom platform that we're on here.
So since this is the one view that's the one that does concern us, was there everything that you could do to minimize this little piece that sticks up? I mean, there's no other alternative that this could be pushed back or anything?
So I'm going to go back to the rooftop plan so you can see. And actually, you know, these are the heat pumps that you might have visibility on over here. We did our best to keep things back from the sleeper street and Seaport Boulevard as much as possible. And there just physically isn't enough space to put everything, you know, towards the actual southern side, to the right side of the plan here.
So point to the, use your cursor and point to the actual pieces that we would see. That's over there on the far left. That's it there. Okay.
And even the taller piece of equipment, which is this exhaust air handler here, is not visible. It's hidden behind the existing equipment. Yeah. Just not visible from that perspective. All right. Yep.
All right.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so I'm just trying to, I guess I'm wondering, because I hear a lot of subjective terms here about hardly at all, not much. Is there a reason why there isn't a mock-up being done, which would make it very clear whether it could be seen or it couldn't be seen? Because that's what they usually do, right? Is do a mock-up for something like this?
Sure. Yes, Peter, do you want to respond to that?
Sure. I'm happy to field that. We spoke with Mary earlier in the week and explained the rationale. So because of the size of some of these mechanical elements, you know, not in terms of how much you're going to see from a visibility standpoint, but just the size and bulk of the items, and given where they are on the roof and the hoods, especially the hood being, you know, 20 feet tall, we did look into what it would take to construct a model. And this would be sort of a difficult cardboard model to do and be sure that we could do it safely.
I don't think you need to do that. I think you just need to, you know, outline it up there with some rope or something and tie something on that's going to be visible from the street. You don't have to really do a whole model. I think it's just the outline that matters, right? Isn't that right? I mean, because it's been done a number of times before with a similar kind of a issue as this.
And it sounds to me like it would be only the portion that's within our purview, correct, David?
Typically it's what the views from within the district.
So that would just be the snow cover, correct?
Yeah.
This view.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that this view is from within the district, right? This is
so we're across Seaport Boulevard here. Street
is.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of on the other side. I'd have to look at a map and locate myself here, but
that is not within the district.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. The vantage point is across the boulevard. Yeah. Oh, right. So
correct.
That's not even within the district. Okay. Well, actually, this is a good slide to look at. Sue, do you have the ability to expand the view here to get a closer view of it?
Sure. Let me just get out.
No, I'm talking about.
I can, but I mean, I can. So the green is.
Yeah. The green is what is the new piece that we're going to now see.
And this is the only vantage point we're concerned with. Is that
well? I thought so, but now that we see the map, that was taken from across Seaport Boulevard. So technically, it is not even within the district.
So is there a viewpoint that we are concerned with, and which one is that?
Well, that's a good question. I don't. Let me see if I can see the map here.
I'm happy to scroll through them again for you.
Yeah. So nothing on Sleeper or this side of Seaport Boulevard then. I'm guessing if you took that vantage point from what will be the between Seaport Boulevard and the building, and look straight up at the building, you would not see probably any of this equipment. It's going
so this is so this is that reference section that we drew, and the equipment is actually right about here. So it would be well below that red line, so you wouldn't be able to see it.
Yeah, and that's again outside of our that street is the Northern
this is
Avenue
Seaport Boulevard right
Super,
here.
Seaport this Boulevard, Seaport, yeah.
Yep.
So that's actually outside of our district. The edge of the district is that church, the side of the church there. So, and that's actually a protection area. So, I think overall, typically, I think Commissioner Gargani is right. We would ask for some kind of a mock-up meeting with just you putting up a series of posts with a tape or something to see the outline of the piece itself. But I think if, you know, looking at these photos and what you've shown, it seems so minimal, the additional amount that we're going to see. And since all these views are outside of the district, I'm satisfied, actually, myself. I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to be detrimental or that intrusive. And again, assuming that you've done everything you can to push that in as far as you can to the center of the building so that it would be out of view as much as possible.
We have, yes. We tried to balance it. You know, when you move in one direction, it might be more visible from somewhere.
Right.
So we did our best to locate it. Yep.
And the height of it is a fixed height that can't be altered or played with?
Correct. There's a minimum height that the structural support needs to be to prevent snow loads from gathering on the equipment. So we've set that as low as possible as well.
All right. I'll leave it up to the other commissioners if they feel that they want to see a mock-up, you know, something, like I said, very simple. And then we go out there and take a look at it. Or if we feel it's okay, then we can.
I'm fine with this.
Okay,
that's fine then. I mean, if everybody's okay with it, that's fine with me.
Yeah, and as long as it's a darker color, you know. Yeah, go ahead. All right, so if that's the comments from the commissioners, I will again open this up to the public. And let me get my handy-dandy script here.
David, can I just ask a question first?
Yes, you may.
So I'm just looking at the map of the district. So I just want to confirm. So there's no visibility of these new mechanicals from Farnsworth Street. Is that because I know there's the elevator head house. Does that hide everything from that point?
It does. And I think the density of the buildings and the steepness of the view angle.
Okay.
Will prevent you from seeing it.
Okay.
So from Farnsworth, there would be no visibility at all?
Not to our knowledge, no.
All right. Well, that's the key view. So, all right, let me open this up to the public. Let me get my handy script here. Here it is here. All right. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat and application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to the staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov or via Twitter by the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks with the hashtag FPC July 9 hearing. So we'll just wait a couple minutes or so to see if any comments come through.
I believe Sarah McCammon's raising your hand. Sarah?
Yes, hi. For the record, Sarah McCammon, Fourth Point resident. Just had a couple of questions. One, and my understanding of perspectives isn't always spot on. So I'm just curious, I know that Mary asked about Farnsworth, was there any visual impacts? I'm wondering if you're coming from Congress Street going toward your building on Sleeper Street, if there are any view impact, visual impacts that we should be aware of with this addition. And then my second comment is for the additional equipment that you are putting up on the roof of the building, is there any noise mitigation that is being considered? You do have two residential condo buildings right next to you on Farnsworth, on Sleeper, and then of course you have the church on your other side. Mm-hmm. So those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Those are appreciated. Sure. Yeah. To speak to in reverse order, I guess, we do have an acoustical consultant on the project. We did submit their report as part of an appendix to the package. We've been working with them from the beginning to mitigate any noise issues and to keep the maximum allowable noise at or below, you know, below the maximum requirements per the zoning code. And to answer your question about Congress Street, we're pretty far away, relatively speaking, from there. As you pass by the Children's Museum and the other buildings, again, I think the steepness of the angle and the other buildings in the immediacy, in the immediate vicinity, are going to block the majority of the buildings to the view to the building, never mind the rooftop. So to our knowledge, there are no view impacts along Congress Street in the area of the district.
Okay. All right. Have there any public comment or any other comments, I should say? No emails? No. Okay. All right. So if someone would like to make a motion then on this.
Sure. I'll make a motion to approve the application.
Second.
We didn't have any provisos, right?
No. Is there a second? Did I hear anything?
I'll second.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see John or anymore, so.
All right. Is Commissioner Rohde, is he there?
No, I think he had to leave.
All right, so it looks like we're going to get three votes here. So, all right, yep. Commissioner Perviani.
Yes.
Mileage.
Yes.
And the chair votes yes, provided Karoff is not here again.
Okay. I don't see him.
All right. So we have three votes in favor, and that will pass. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you all very much. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too. All right. And we have administrative approvals here that I need to read in. So these are applications that came before the commission or the staff, and they were approved based on their adherence to the guidelines. And so our vote after I read them in would be to approve of their findings. The first is application 20.1096 at 332 to 340 Summer Street. Regarding refurbishing the existing steel fence facing Boston Wharf Road. And the next is application 20.797 at 300 A Street. And this is regarding the replacing a visible HVAC equipment at the roof, modifying the certificate of design approval. All right, so the motion would be to approve those approvals.
I'll second that.
Okay. We'll just take a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. So those are in. And let's see. So the next is the ratification of the public hearing minutes from the June 11, 2020 hearing. Do I have a motion to accept those minutes?
Yes, I move to accept the minutes.
All right. Second?
Yes, second.
All right, do a voice vote again. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, staff updates?
None.
Nothing.
Nothing new to add, although Joe might want to talk about the staff architect position.
Yeah, we're scheduling interviews. We have an interview tomorrow, and hopefully we'll be wrapping up the interviews next week.
Great.
Okay, good. All right. If that is it, we'll take a motion. We'll make a motion to adjourn. Joe, you're Eric Garber. Is that me or you?
That's strange. Okay.
Watch out.
Move anyway, to adjourn.
Yeah, motion. Second.
Aye.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed. All right.
Thank aye. You.
That's it. You. I'll know never to use my phone. My hand is open. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.